Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's not noted in the bulletin. That was my oversight. But we do have welcome and announcements today. So come on in. We welcome everybody today to worship at Resurrection Lutheran Church here in Franklin, North Carolina. We have quite a few announcements to cover, so I'll get to those as quickly as possible. I call your attention to your bulletin. There's a lot of stuff there. So if you would just take a moment, beginning with the inserts, you have the calendar for April. And we also have the Easter Lily forms. So if you see the Easter Lily form there and you haven't filled one out, let's fill this place up lilies, shall we? So today's the last day if you fill that out, and it is $6. So let's make the place, it's already beautiful, we'll make it more beautiful. So the more lilies, let's fill her up. On the back of the bulletin, there are a number of announcements. I won't go through all of them, but just make sure we continue to support CareNet through the month of April. There's a buggy out in the Narthex area, and you can fill it up with the items that are listed here. Also, we want to make a note about Bible class next week. There is no adult Bible class because we're doing the Easter breakfast. So that'll be a time of fellowship. So no Bible class next Sunday. Also, an important announcement that's not noted is in the past we had flowers donated for the beautiful cross that we fill up with flowers and place in a prominent place for viewing on Easter morning. So what we're asking folks to do is bring flowers next week to the breakfast, and it's my understanding youth and others will put those onto the cross during that time, and then the cross will be placed out for us all to see. So bring your flowers, folks, donate those, and we'll put those on the cross for Easter morning for the service there. Also, doesn't look like we have fellowship today, is that right? I didn't see anyone signed up, so I didn't see fellowship today after service. Let's see. Again, we are asking for volunteers. That's noted on the back of the bulletin. Make sure you have also your palm. If you didn't get one, we've got some out there in the Narthex area. Make sure everyone has a palm. The service today is a little bit different than what you might be accustomed to, since it is Palm Sunday, Sunday of the Passion. Before I get to that, I want to make sure, did I miss any announcements for the church family? Any other announcements or clarifications? I always feel like I'm missing something. We do have our Holy Services, Holy Week services noted in your bulletin. That's on page 13. So make sure you mark your calendars. We have quite a number of services that are offered this week. And again, Easter breakfast next Sunday morning, 8:30. And folks bring food for that. Is that right? That's how that's done. It's my understanding folks would bring a breakfast. Did you have one, Diane?
Yes.
Very well, good. If you would like to process before the song, you can gather toward the back here where Miss Diane is standing, and that's going to be something I wanted to mention here also with our service order. Other announcements about the church family that I need to make note of? Very well. Your service order is in your worship folder. We'll be following it, and I'll be giving periodic instructions as we go to help us stay on task. So if you'll make sure you have a copy of that with you, all the hymns, everything's in there for you. Make sure you have that as well as your palm. If you would like to assemble at the back for the procession, you may do that. But at this time, I understand we've got really good prelude music today as we prepare for this festive celebration of Palm Sunday, then turning more somber as we then begin to look toward Holy Week. So let us quietly listen.
Thank you.
I invite the congregation to stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King.
And when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life.
Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord.
We continue with the processional song. witness as our sermon time together. I invite you forward for this time.
Well, good morning. What a nice job you did. That was wonderful. Was it fun?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Oh, that's great. Well, so today we begin to focus on what Jesus did for us. Not too many long ago, in fact, it seems like last week, we were celebrating Jesus' birth. Well, I know, it seems probably to you like a long time ago, right? For me, it seems like last week. So, before Christmas, during the whole month of December, did any of you use an Advent calendar where you opened up every day? You did, all right? And what did you do?
Oh.
Okay, so you got little things and you got chocolate. All right. Well, now we come into thanking Jesus for coming and dying for us, right? Well, I've got something I'm going to give everyone. I'm going to give you a dozen eggs. You think you can eat them?
No.
Well,
Mama made
she does. That's good. Well, they're called resurrection eggs. So this is a very special thing, and it's kind of like the Advent calendar, only for Easter. So when we open this up, it has directions in it, and everybody's going to get their own. And there are 12 eggs, because it's a dozen. And every day, you're supposed to open one, and number 12 needs to be open next Sunday at Easter. So you'll get to do a couple eggs a day for a few days. And you and your moms and dads can figure out how many you get to open in one day. And moms and dads, all the directions are here on the lid, on the inside. So I'm just going to show you how to do this. So when you open up, this is number one, so that would be for today. You squeeze the top and it opens up, and you'll find, besides a treat in there, a little note, and you can take this home and color it. Everyone can be colored. And when you undo this, it says, remember about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, what did we just say? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And it gives you where it comes from in the Bible. So you can spend a few minutes with mom and dad and look it up in the Bible. You could talk about what is happening that day. And it goes all the way through the whole story of Jesus' suffering and death. And we have to remember why. So that he could take away all of our sins and we could live with him in heaven forever. So I'm going to give these to you. You get 12 of them. Yes, a dozen. So I wouldn't open these until your mom and dad say it's okay. All right? Okay. And let's pray before we do that. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming and saving us from our sins. Hallelujah to you. Amen. So on your way back, you can get your dozen eggs. So you can come on up. There you go, honey. Everybody gets one whole dozen. And if you have any children or neighbors that are near to you, I have a few dozen left. I've had some very happy chickens.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 36 to 39. The Lord will vindicate his people and relent concerning his servants when he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free. He will say, "Now where are their gods, the rock they took refuge in, the gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up to help you. Let them give you shelter. See now that I myself am he. There is no god beside me. I will put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same ministry, have the main mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to stand. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Congregation may be seated. I invite you to follow along the Passion narrative drawn from our four Gospels. The hymn that is being sung in between the responsive readings, we have folks who are reading, is on page 5, so you'll want to have that handy as we hear readings from the Gospels, from the folks who are reading, and then we sing a verse. And so the hymn is on page 5. At this time, you may remain seated as we hear now the Passion narrative.
I'll just stay here.
This is what finally happened to Jesus. When he had finished all his teachings, he told his disciples, "The feast of the Passover begins in 2 days. That is when the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified."
At almost the same time as he said this,
The chief priests were getting together with the elders of the people at the home of the high priest Caiaphas. They were scheming about how they could sneak around and capture Jesus, then kill him. They said to each other, "We shouldn't try this at a public festival. The people would riot if they knew what we were doing."
Meanwhile, while Jesus was at Bethany staying at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in the room where they were eating. She had with her an alabaster flask filled with a very valuable ointment. As Jesus reclined at the table, she poured the ointment on his head. The disciples, seeing this, were furious. "This is an absolute waste," they whined. "The ointment could have been sold for lots of money and then given to the poor."
Jesus knew what the disciples were saying among themselves, so he took them to task. "Leave this woman alone. She has done a good thing. It's nice you're concerned about the poor, but the poor will always be with you. I will not. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for my burial. I tell you this, the good news of the kingdom of God will spread all over the world, and wherever the good news travels, people will tell the story of this woman and her act of devotion. People will remember her."
At that, one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests. He asked them, what would they give him to turn Jesus over to them? They offered him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment, he began to watch for a chance to betray Jesus.
Festival of Unleavened Bread, the disciples asked Jesus where he wanted them to prepare the Passover meal for them to eat. Jesus told them to go into the city, find a certain man, and say to him, "The teacher says, my time is near and I'm going to celebrate Passover at your house with my disciples." So the disciples followed Jesus' instructions and got the Passover meal ready. When evening came, Jesus sat down with the 12 and they ate their dinner. And while they were at table, Jesus said, "I tell you this, one of you here will betray me."
The disciples, of course, were horrified. One after another, they said incredulously, "Surely you do not mean me, Lord."
Jesus said, "It is the one who shared this dish of food with me. That one will betray me. Jesus, just as our sacred scripture has taught, the Son of Man is on his way. But there will be nothing but misery for he who hands him over. That man will wish that he had never been born."
At that, Judas, who right then was planning to betray him, said, "It's not me, Master, is it?" And Jesus said, "You've just answered your own question."
As they were eating, Jesus took some bread. He offered a blessing, broke some bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body." Then he took a cup of wine. He made a blessing over it and passed it around the table. "Take this and drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not eat and drink of the fruit of the vine again until I am with you once more in the kingdom of my Father."
Jesus, Christ, and Rachel,
after the meal, they sang a hymn of praise and thanksgiving and went for their customary late evening walk to the Mount of Olives. On their way, Jesus said, "Scripture says, I shall strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter. Just so each of you will stumble tonight on account of me. Afterward, I will be raised up and I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said, "Lord, may everyone else, Lord, maybe everyone else will trip and fall tonight, but I shall not."
Jesus responded, "In fact, Peter, this very night, by the time the rooster crows, you will have already denied me three times."
Peter said indignantly, "No, I won't deny you, even if it means I have to die with you." And every one of the disciples echoed Peter.
At that, Jesus led his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He told them, "I am going over there to pray. Would you sit here and support me while I'm at prayer?"
Then he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he grew sorrowful and deeply distressed. He told his inner circle, "My soul is overwhelmed with grief to the point of death. Stay here, keep watch with me."
He walked a little farther and finally fell prostrate and prayed, "Father, if there is any way, please take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done."
When he came back to the disciples, he saw that they were asleep, so he said especially to Peter, "You see, you couldn't keep watch with me for just one short hour. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Watch, pray, take care that you are not pulled down during a time of testing."
With that, he went away again to be alone and prayed, "Father, if there is no other way for this cup to pass without my drinking it, then not my will, but yours be done."
Again, Jesus returned to his disciples and found them asleep. Their eyes were heavy-lidded, so he left them again and returned to prayer, praying with the same words. And then he returned and said to his disciples, "Still sleeping, getting a good long rest? Time's up. The Son of Man is just about to be given over to sinners, so get up. We have to be going. Look, here comes the one who's going to betray me."
And there was Judas, one of the 12, leading a crowd of people from the chief priests and elders with swords and clubs, ready to arrest Jesus. And Judas, the one who intended to betray him, had said to the elders and the chief priests that he would give them a sign. "I will greet him with a kiss. You will know the one I kiss is the one you should arrest."
So at once he went up to Jesus and kissed him and said, "Greetings, teacher."
Jesus responded, "My friend, just do what you have come to do."
And at that, the company came and seized him. One of those who was with Jesus grabbed his sword and swung it toward the high priest's slave, slicing off his ear.
Jesus scolded, "Put your sword back. People who live by the sword die by the sword. Surely you realize that if I called on my Father, he would send 12 legions of angels to rescue me. But if I were to do that, I would be thwarting the scriptural story, wouldn't I? And we must allow the story of God's kingdom to unfold as planned." And then Jesus said to the crowds, "Why bring weapons, these swords and clubs? Did you think I would fight you or try to escape like a common criminal? You know, you could have arrested me any day I was teaching in the temple, but you didn't. This scene has come together just so that the prophecies in the sacred scripture could be fulfilled."
And at that, all the disciples ran away and abandoned him.
Thank you.
crowd that had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest. The scribes and elders had gathered there, and Peter followed Jesus, though at some distance. He slipped into the courtyard of Caiaphas' house and mingled with a group of servants. He sat there watching, waiting to see how things would unfold.
The high priest and the council produced some false evidence against Jesus meant to justify some sort of charge that would lead to Jesus' execution. But even though many men were willing to lie, the council still could not come up with the evidence it wanted. And finally, two of the men stood up and said, "Look, we heard him say, 'I can destroy God's temple and rebuild it in 3 days.'"
Then Caiaphas, the high priest, stood up and addressed Jesus. "Aren't you going to respond to these charges? Do you hear what these men are accusing you of?" But Jesus remained silent.
Again, Caiaphas said, "Under a sacred oath before the living God, I demand you tell us plainly, are you the anointed one, the Son of God?"
Jesus answered, "So you say. I will say this, beginning now, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God's power and glory and coming on the clouds of heaven."
The high priest tore his robes and screamed, "Blasphemy! We don't need any more witnesses. We've all just witnessed this most grievous blasphemy. So, gentlemen, what's your verdict?"
They all said, "He deserves to die." Then they spat in his face and hit him. Some of them smacked him, slapped him across the cheeks, and jeered, "Well, anointed one, prophesy for us. Which one of us hit you?"
All that time, Peter was sitting in the courtyard with some servants. One of the servant girls came up to him. "You were with Jesus the Galilean, weren't you?" she asked.
Peter denied it before everyone. "Not me. I do not know what you're talking about." He went out to stand by the gate, and as he walked past, another servant girl recognized him and said, "Look at that man over there. He was with Jesus the Nazarene."
Again, Peter denied it, swearing with an oath, "I don't know him."
Peter kept moving. He walked with a few other servants. A little while later, some other servants approached him. "Look, we know you must be the one of Jesus' followers. You speak like you are from the same area as he is. You've got to tell Galilean accent." Cursing and swearing, Peter shouted again, "I do not know him."
And even as the words left his mouth, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered Jesus had said, "This very night, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went outside and wept.
Judas, the one who betrayed him, saw that Jesus had been condemned and suddenly regretted what he had done. He took the silver coins back to the chief priests and elders. "I have sinned," he cried. "I betrayed an innocent man."
They replied, "Really, the state of your soul is none of our affair."
At that, Judas threw down the money in the temple, went off, and hung himself.
The chief priest looked at the silver coins and picked them up. The chief priest and the elders said to themselves, "You know, according to the law, we aren't allowed to put blood money into the temple treasury." So after some deliberation, they took the money and bought a plot of land called Potter's Field, and they could use to bury foreigners. To this day, the field is called Blood Field. By doing that, they fulfilled the ancient prophecy made by the prophet Jeremiah. They took 30 pieces of silver, the price set on the head of the man by the children of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field as an eternal one instructed.
Help me sing, forgive us all.
Congregation, please stand as you're able.
Eventually, the chief priests and the elders looked around and saw morning was dawning. They convened a special council meeting whose sole purpose was to hand down a death sentence on Jesus. Then they tied up Jesus, took him away, and handed him over to the Roman governor of Judea, a man called Pilate. And as Jesus stood before the governor, Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "You say so."
In the background, the chief priests and the elders kept pouring out their accusations. But Jesus just stood there, and he did not respond.
Pilate asked, "Do you hear all of these accusations they're making against you?" Still, Jesus said nothing, which Pilate found rather astounding. Now, the governor had a custom. During the festival of the Passover, he would allow the crowd to pick one of the condemned men, and he would set that man free. And at this time, they had a notorious prisoner who was named Barabbas. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate offered them a choice. "Whom do you want me to set free, Barabbas or Jesus, whom some call the Anointed One?" Pilate, to irritate the chief priests and the elders because he knew they hated Jesus and had delivered him up because they envied him.
Then Pilate sat down on his judgment seat, and he received a message from his wife. "Distance yourself completely from this righteous man. I had a really strange dream about him, a dream full of twisted sufferings."
But the chief priests and the elders worked the crowd and convinced them to demand Barabbas, not Jesus, be freed and that Jesus be put to death.
Pilate asked the crowd, "Which of these men would you have me free?" And they all shouted,
"Barabbas!"
"Then what would you have me do with this Jesus, whom some call the Anointed One?" Pilate taunted them, and they shouted back,
"Crucify him!"
Pilate kept at it. "Why? What crime has this man committed?" One more time, the crowd screamed,
"Crucify him!"
Pilate realized he had taken this as far as he could, and that unless he wanted a riot on his hands, he had to bow to their wishes. So he took a pitcher of water, stood before the crowd, and washed his hands. "You will see to this crucifixion, for this man's blood will be upon you and not upon me. I wash myself of it." They all said, "Indeed, let his blood be upon us and our children."
So Pilate released Barabbas, and he had Jesus flogged and handed over to the crucified, to be crucified. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into a great hall, gathered a great crowd, and stripped Jesus of his clothes, draping him in a bold scarlet cloak. They gathered some thorny vines, wove them into a crown, and perched that crown upon his head. They stuck a reed in his right hand, and then they knelt before him. They mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and whipped him on the head with reeds. And when they had their fill, they pulled off the cloak, dressed him in his own simple clothes, and led him off to be crucified.
As they were walking, they found a man called Simon of Cyrene and forced him to carry the cross. Eventually, they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull.
And there they gave him a drink, wine mixed with bitter herbs. He tasted it, but refused to drink it.
So they had him crucified. They divided his clothes by drawing lots and sat on the ground to watch him. They placed a sign over his head, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." They crucified two thieves next to him, one at his right hand and one at his left.
Passersby cursed and blasphemed at Jesus. They wagged their heads and hissed, "Weren't you going to destroy the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days? Why don't you start by saving yourself? Come down from the cross if you can, if you're God's son."
Chief priests, scribes and Pharisees, and elders mocked him. "He saved others. He can't even save himself. If he's really the king of Israel, let him climb down from the cross. Then we'll believe him. He claimed communion with God. Well, let God save him if he's God's beloved son."
Even the thieves hanging to his right and left poured insults upon him. And then starting at noon, the entire land became dark. It was completely dark for 3 hours.
And in the middle of that dark afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders mocked him. "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." One of them grabbed a sponge, steeped it in vinegar, stuck it on a reed, and gave Jesus vinegar to drink. "We will see. We'll see if Elijah is going to come and rescue him."
Jesus cried out once more loudly. Then he took his last breath. At that instant, the temple curtain was torn in half from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split in two, tombs burst open, and bodies of many sleeping holy women and men were raised up. After Jesus' resurrection, they came out of their tombs, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and showed themselves to people.
When the centurion and soldiers charged with guarding Jesus felt the earthquake take place, they were terrified and said, "He was really the Son of God."
A number of women who had been devoted to Jesus and followed him from Galilee were present too, watching from a distance.
Mary Magdalene was there, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
We sing Lutheran service book hymn 434, "Lamb of God, Pure and Holy," as printed in your worship folder on page 6.
Thank you.
Let us now, in hearing the word of God, now speak our statement of faith together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday, and as we began the service this morning, we began with processions and palms and singing and joy and Hosanna, as we hear of and sort of in a way recount how Jesus entered in Jerusalem. But yet today, as we just heard, we transition from this air of celebration, euphoria, and excitement to a more somber, sad, and dark tone. For we now transition into the passion of our Savior, Jesus. The passion, which means sufferings of Jesus, which happened during this week, over 2,000 years ago. There's something about the sufferings of Jesus that we do not fully understand. And sometimes we turn away from it or skip over it. Yes, the praises of Palm Sunday are exciting and attractive, and we eagerly and joyfully come to Easter service with the alleluias and the lilies and the hymns of praise. But yet, in the coming days, as we observe Christ's suffering, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, you may not see as many folks in services, and that's not a criticism, but yet it's a very, very difficult time for us in our faith lives. People want a triumphant king. People want someone who is hailed and great singing and pomp and all the things that go with being a king. It's very difficult to look upon Christ the King, yet Christ the suffering servant, Christ the suffering and slaughtered Lamb of God. We read in Philippians earlier, St. Paul wrote, not only to them, but to us today, Jesus chose to be a suffering servant. Yes, he was the King of the Jews, ultimately the King of all, but yet suffering servant. He could have remained as he was before the creation of the world, this glorious Son of God who had no flesh, no sufferings. Even when he became man, he was still God. He didn't have to suffer or diminish his glory in any way. He could have remained in the form of God, but he chose the form of a servant, a man. He chose weakness, pain, and death. God's love for us on full display in that passion which we just read. And he did that for you and for me, and for all people. This is difficult for us are approaching the day when Jesus, our Savior, in fact, God died on that cross. And he did so to conquer death for us. You see, the cross, when we see it, is quite offensive. How could God, his Son, Jesus, lay down his life for us in such a cruel and vicious way? Now wait, Pastor, I thought God could not die because he's eternal and immortal. Nor should God die because what? He is good and pure and loving and beautiful. But as we see Jesus hanging on that cross in pain and suffering for us, we see him doing this as the Son of God, the King, but yet the suffering servant. And that's hard for us to face. Some folks have tried to diminish his suffering by saying he didn't truly suffer. He only seemed to suffer because he's the Son of God. Others said that he was fully man but not God. And therefore, as the Son of God, he didn't die on the cross. Some folks have even gone so far to say that Jesus wasn't any different than we were. He was human. He was a sinner. And so his death wasn't any different than any others. You see, these are false views of Christ. And we hear St. Paul addressing it, that Christ Jesus was in the form of God. He possessed all of the majesty and holiness of God. He had the power, knowledge, and immortality, all the things of God. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. Yes, Christ our King took on form of a servant by ceasing to use his powers as God. No, this wasn't an illusion. Jesus was really and truly a human being, and he was like us in every way, except without sin. He did not become a sinner in his life, but yet his death became sin for us. And that is the purpose of the passion of Christ. He became in the form of a servant so that he could die a servant's death to pay for the sins of the world. He never ceased to be God, not even on the cross. But yet he did not use his powers fully and divinely as God while he was on earth. He had unlimited knowledge, but didn't always use it. He was tired and hungry and thirsty. Even though God doesn't get tired or hungry or thirsty. And certainly God does not bleed. God doesn't suffer. God doesn't die. He's God. But Christ, who is true God and true man, bled and died for you and me and all people because he took the form of a servant. Yes, this King, the servant. And when his flesh suffered and died, it was the flesh of God's Son. You see, the death of a sinner, the death of an ordinary person, would mean little to anyone. But Jesus Christ laid down in flesh and blood on the cross so that his death means everything. The suffering and death of God towers over every event in history. And it matters. For on the cross, Jesus claimed oneness with sinful mankind, taking upon himself our sins. He willingly made himself one of us, even though he was holy and sinless, unlike us. And as he lived among humanity, he was part of humanity. Yet his divinity was far above humanity. And on the cross, Jesus embraced all of humanity so that all of the sins of the world, and the weight of the guilt fell upon him. And this is Christ the King, our servant, on the cross. He carried the heavy burdens that belong to us, the burdens of our sin, our death, our eternal separation from God. But these weren't his to carry. He didn't need to suffer. He chose to suffer. Christ Jesus, the only man who could choose not to die, chose the worst possible death to save us. So earlier we read of his riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. He could have ridden on the backs of angels and be led by a heavenly throng. But yet he wasn't. He rides into Jerusalem in humility. He rides to present himself as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the world. And at the same time, he's riding to Jerusalem to fulfill what he had come to do. And that is to die on the cross. And he suffers at the hands of sinful men, but interestingly is also preserving their lives in the process through this suffering. And as the nails and thorns are driven into his flesh, he's keeping a universe from collapsing in chaos. Here is this person beaten, bruised, and hung up, scourged, dying a vicious and brutal death, is the very one who comes to protect and defend the world, even when that world turns against him and kills him. Yes, Jesus, the man, fully God. This is who he is and how he will be. For now, he is no longer in the form of a servant. He is highly exalted. The saints and the angels in heaven bow before this glorious Son of God, who shines before them in the unveiled form of God. And as we on earth mimic those above, we bow our heads at the name of Jesus in worship. For this is the name of the Lord of life and death, who conquered sin and Satan. This is the name of the Lord who freed you and me from our own death by dying himself. And one day all knees will bow and all tongues confess, whether they like it or not. Even Satan's black tongue will be forced to confess that Jesus is Lord. So all creation praises the Lord, confesses his name, because he has suffered on your behalf. He has died in your place. And he took the form of a servant, yet though he were a king, God in human flesh, laying down his life on the cross for you. And with heaven and earth, we give glory to his great name, which is above every name, Christ Jesus, our Lord, our God, our Savior, our King. And especially this week, we see him, our suffering servant. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we continue with the prayer of the church. I invite you to turn to the back, or actually to page 14 of your worship folder, where we have the names of folks whom we lift up today in prayer. You may also lift up silently at the appropriate time. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. King of glory, Lord of hosts, lift up the gates of our hearts and make way for your blessed Son. Forgive our sins and renew our souls that we may glorify him who died to save us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you desire not the death of any sinner, but that all would turn in repentance to you. Bless the preaching of your gospel and the administration of your sacraments in mission fields around the world. Convert those who do not yet know Christ and sustain those who face danger and opposition for the name of Christ. Bless and protect all missionaries as they proclaim Christ boldly in hostile places and surround their families with your care. Banish from our hearts all prejudice that might hinder our mission work here in our nation or abroad. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you sacrificed your own Son on the cross that we may be called your children. Increase the faith of all Christian families that receiving Jesus and trusting in his atoning sacrifice, they may be enlivened to sacrificial love for one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, our King, our servant, your Son entered Jerusalem as the true ruler, ready to lay down his life for his people. Grant this same mind to those who are in authority over us, that they would discharge their duty even for the least among us, and so receive your commendation. Lord, in your mercy. According to your gracious will, O Lord, look on all who suffer illness or physical disability. We especially pray for Pam and Dorothy, Eleanor, Les, Glenn and Sue, Mike, Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Ken, Susan, Vicky, and Brenda. Lord, hear us as we lift up to you silently in our hearts and minds for those for whom we pray. Bless all those whom we pray with what is best for them according to your good and gracious will, and strengthen their faith. Open our hearts to serve their bodily needs. Take into your care those who mourn the death of loved ones. Give them peace and comfort through your holy word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, our King, your Son Jesus, our servant, entered Jerusalem as a true ruler, but yet a suffering servant. And through his name and by his actions in life, death, and resurrection, we come to you in prayer for those who serve in the military, Andy and others, those who serve in law enforcement and EMS, fire, and first responders and medical personnel. We thank you and ask that you guide them, that they may lead lives and serve others, all people in society. We thank you for their service, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And as we prayed for missionaries and churches around the world, we especially pray for Alan, Lindsay, and Josie, who's currently serving in England. We pray for Pastor Josu and members of Grace Lutheran in Haiti. Lord, we also lift up our ministry here through Great Beginnings Preschool and ask your blessing on our staff and families. Keep us safe from harm as we go about serving and ministering to the families and children here at Great Beginnings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, the world is full of brokenness and violence, and we see it all around us. We are perplexed, confused, and sometimes doubtful. Lord, we ask that you stir up in our hearts your Holy Spirit, that we may, in our own little spheres of influence, be the hands and feet of you in a broken and sinful world where there's violence and destruction, famine, and death. Lord, we also pray for all those who are traveling to various points. We ask for safety in all travels during these holiday time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament, that we may eat his body and drink his blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of sins and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath, but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with confession and absolution on page 7 in your worship folder. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I invite the congregation to kneel, stand, or be seated. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have despised and granted an eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may like your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand. We continue with the words of institution on page 8 of your worship folder. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat of this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Congregation may be seated.
Thank you. invite the congregation to stand.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul till life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in faith toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. We sing Lutheran Service Book Hymn 444, No Tramp of Soldiers, Marching Feet.
Now go in peace and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.